Amen.
Well, I'm honored to be here tonight. It's always a great privilege when I am blessed with an opportunity to participate in a great accomplishment. And once again, that's what we're doing tonight. We're celebrating accomplishment. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And I commend the parents, grandparents, anybody that had a hand in making sure that these four young people reached where they are. And it not only parents, it's teachers, the principal, Brother Dwight, the pastor, all of these people. And I want to take springboard from that thought to this object over here to my left, which would be a what? Yeah, that's a big pencil, isn't it? There's a story behind it, but I won't share that tonight because that's not the message. But I want to talk to you about this because I am sure, unless I'm sadly mistaken, that you've spent a lot of time with one of these things. Number two pencil. In working. But what you do with a number two is you write with it, do you not? You would inscribe, you write on a piece of paper. And what I want you to know and understand tonight, graduates, is that there are all of those categories of people that I just spoke to you about have also been writing. You've been writing, and they've been writing. And here in 2 Corinthians, I want to look at three different places. There are just two or three verses. We won't be in one place long. But Paul says, do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we some epistles or letters of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? You are living testimony of what we are. Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now notice this next verse. For as much as ye are manifestedly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. Paul said that what he was trying to explain to them was that the Holy Spirit of God took the Word of God and wrote upon their heart about their needs of coming to know Christ as Savior. And they did. And when they did, they reflected the fact that He had written upon their heart by the way they acted and reacted to it. Young people, tonight, you should be indebted to your parents. You should be indebted to your teachers, grandparents, the pastor, the principal, anyone who sought to write upon the fleshy tables of your heart. Now, having said that, and you remind me, inside this bag here, don't let me forget this in the, I've got a pencil. I'm going to give you a pencil, and it's attached to a lunch at Chick-fil-A. That'll make you want the pencil, won't it? But I want you to remember that. That's what we're talking about. The ability to write. Now, the other thing I want you to remember before we finish, you see this pencil? I've been telling you that all these people wrote upon the tables of your heart. They've been trying to write on your heart, I'm sure. But you're about to take and write the next chapter of your life. And whether you want to believe it or not, you're writing on somebody else's soul. What are you writing? What are you going to write? No man lives unto himself. No man dies unto himself. You are writing. You've been writing. And that's why you're here. You've written so much and gone through so many pencils, that's brought you to this culmination of all your writing. But you, from this day forward, need to be conscious That's what I'm trying to emphasize, of the fact that you're writing on other people's heart. The other person that will be interested in writing is our enemy, the devil. And he works overtime at doing that. He wants to gain entrance and be able to inscribe or engrave and write. But what I want you to remember, the things that you've been instructed, the influence, the impact, the inscribing that's taken place, I don't want you to forget that, and especially what they've tried to ingrain upon your heart from this book. That's the most important thing. Now, over in Matthew chapter 11, there's some other verses I want to share. And I've got another oblique lesson here. I brought tonight report card. You ever get a report card? You never got one? They've got progressive. You use report cards, don't you? Go ahead, see. I hated these things. I detested these things. Let me tell you something. I ran away from home one time over a report card. You said, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. And it was not over the grades. You can come up here. I'll let Dwight see it later. You can look at these report cards, the three I brought. B, B, A, A, B plus, A, B, B. This one here, A, 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 B, A, B, A, B, A, 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 A minus. But you know what would happen? I'm from a single parent home, three kids in the home. My mother would take the report cards and she'd look at, well, that's good. You did good in reading. You did good in language. You did good. And over here in writing, all you've got two categories. Forms letters correctly and writes neatly. That's it. The only two things listed under writing. But if you go on down to the last, after you go through social studies, science, phys ed, health, arithmetic, music, art, personal development, general conduct. Do you know there are 10 different categories here? 10 categories. Listens and follows directions. Works independently. Listen to this now. This is life lessons. Listens and follows directions. That's conduct. Works independently when necessary. Works without wasting time. Works and plays well with others. Obeys class rules and regulations, is courteous and is kind, refrains from disturbing others, respects rights and property of others, takes care of books and materials, takes pride in neat and accurate work. Writing's only got two categories. My mother would look at A's and B's, all A, B. She didn't care. She'd go right down to conduct. And you know what? If I didn't have an A or a B, if I had a C or lower, I was in big trouble. I tell her the teacher didn't like me, Mama. That's why she gave me a C. Listens and follows direction, minus. Works independently when necessary, minus. Minus, 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 minus. And she had the audacity one time to underline, plays well, and then one time this teacher that didn't like me wrote, refrains from disturbing others, she wrote talking to someone at the same time. I guess when she meant when she was teaching. Of course, I finally got out of elementary school, went on to 7th, 8th grade, and they stopped listing 10 categories. There was only 4. The conduct, and technically, it was 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, splendid behavior, considerate of others in class. Then there was 2, good behavior, good citizen in class. Then there was 3, unsatisfactory behavior, needs improvement. And then the fourth one was behavior detrimental to the group must be improved. You say, well, what did you get in those different quarters? A 3, a 3, a 4, and a 4. Young people, my mother said to me repeatedly, you may not be the smartest person in your class, and I don't intend for you to be, but one thing you're going to do, you're going to behave. You're going to know how to behave. You say, well, what's that got to do with the Bible? Listen to these words. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This is Jesus talking in Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And I am absolutely certain that through the ministry of this church and this school, they've tried to teach you the most important thing for you to know and understand tonight, and anybody else here listening to me that's a Christian, is that yes, you may have been enrolled in a school and you may get a diploma, but one day we're going to stand before Jesus Christ at the Bema seat and get a report card of all things we've done since we've come to know Christ as Savior. That's a Bible verse. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And He'll look at the books. He'll look at the record. And if you're here tonight and you're not unsaved, there's another book. There's going to be other recorded conduct listed. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And every person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, this Savior, is going to be judged out of things they've done. Writing, writing, writing. Jesus said, take my yoke upon me, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know what I like about these? Let me ask you, young people, which one of these ends is the most important? This end? I had a member one time that gave me a pencil not quite this big. They said, preacher, I want you to have the pencil you need. I said, okay. And they reached in the bag and they pulled it out. And you know what it was? It didn't have one of these ends. It had two erasers. Paul tells me in Colossians, Chapter 2, and I know what exactly he's talking about. That before I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, that verse is coming to me, and all you that labor and heavy laden, when I came back from Vietnam, I was lost. I sort of tried to make a contractual relationship with God when the mortar rounds would fall. Lord, let me get home. I'll do what I need to do. But I didn't. Praying mama, praying sister, but lost as a jailbird. And then the Spirit of God convicted me. I've heard it all my life. All that sin. Let me just say what the Bible says. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. But I'm going to tie this in with the writing. Paul said there was a day in his life where Jesus Christ upon the cross died. God made him sin who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you know what Paul says there in Colossians 2, chapter 14? He has blotted out. He took the eraser. Every one of my sins. And he did just like this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Boys and girls, young people, I trust you know Jesus as your Savior. No. But if you do, I want you to remember, you're writing on people's hearts, and that's important. And you're in the school where you're going to receive a conduct grade from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can tell you, I've had to use this and that a lot. And you will. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're still going to fall. You're still going to make mistakes. But remember, in life, and especially the Christian life, there's an eraser. But how are you doing in the school of Christ? And this is not just for the graduates, but for everybody here. You know, I believe if you believe something, it'll affect your behavior. And I believe, young people, if you believe what you've been taught here, it should affect you in such a way that it's not only written on your heart and you're seeking to written on it, but people can see it with their eyes. Righteousness. I don't mean holier than thouism. You're just trying to walk with the Lord in such a way that people look at you and say, something's different about you. What is it? Godliness. Godliness is not holier than thouism. Godliness is saying, I want the mind of Christ. I want his eyes. I want his ears. I want his heart. I want his hands and feet. And every day of your life, you're praying this prayer. Oh God, may the words of my heart, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. If you've enrolled in his school and you're learning of him, then it's going to be seen in the way you talk and look and act and love. And yes, it's reading the Bible. You need to do that and you need to pray. But Christ's likeness is not just reading the Bible and praying. It's reflecting the image of Christ in all that you do and say. Well, I'm almost done. Let me get back to Psalm. Psalm 16:11 is just one verse. This is the challenge I'm going to give you. Listen to what the psalmist says. This is David talking. Thou wilt show me the path of life. He said, preacher, tonight, I don't know which path I'm going to take. Most of the time, you don't. You do that probably first year of college, second year of college, third year of college, fourth year of college. I was still praying in grad school. Lord, what am I supposed to do? But what you should do is embrace his path regardless. You just keep saying, Lord, lead me. I want to be led of you. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is. You need to stay close to Jesus Christ. Why? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. You want to be happy, you stay close to Christ. You want to be unhappy. Now you say, well, I know people that even are saved and they're living in sin. You know, that's called what I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Living in sin brings pleasure for a season. Can I say something to you, young people, and I trust you'll never forget it? Experience is not the best teacher. You'll hear people say, experience is the best teacher. No, it's not. It's the bitterest teacher. This is the best teacher. You say, well, you didn't get saved when you was 21. Didn't you have fun? I sure did. But in fullness of joy. Not according to the book. God's forgiven me all my sins, but I regret those days. You embrace his path. You seek to have him enfold you with his presence. And the last thing here is, if you notice this, at his right hand are pleasures evermore. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6, he's given us freely all things to enjoy. And there are things that you can enjoy. God gives us all things to enjoy. In God's time and God's way. So I challenge you. You see that pencil? That's your life. People have written on you for all these years and are writing now, and now it's your turn to write. The other thing that you need to remember is that you need to always be on the path that the Lord Jesus Christ is on so he can walk with you. And if you are, you can be guaranteed the pleasures, the blessings of fellowship with Him. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would raise a hedge of protection around the hearts of these young people. That you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, continue to write from your word. That protection would keep them from sin and from evil. I ask, dear Father, you direct them in all the different paths that they may be in. May they always remember to try to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that true pleasures and joy, fullness of joy in life, comes with walking with Him. Lord, I pray that no one's come tonight in support of these young people that doesn't know Christ as Savior, but if they are here, would you help them to know that they can be forgiven, the handwriting on the wall that's against them can be put beneath the blood of Christ simply by praying and asking for forgiveness and asking Jesus to come in their heart. Lord, help us to remember as Christians we're writing every day upon the fleshy tables of those we interact with. May we write the right things in all our conduct and all our conversation. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.